Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, 6 Essential Traits of an Unapologetic Automotive Rockstar. My name is Eliana Raggio and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. Hey, I want to let you know, Sean Raines and Greg Gifford will both be presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Vegas, baby. Dealer On is also going to be exhibiting there, too. So if you're going to be there, please stop by booth 601 and say hi. I'm going to be there. I'd love to meet you. We have a great booth. We'd love to see you. Remember, it's booth 601. Can't wait to see you there. We have an awesome show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have the fierce and fabulous Lisa Copeland as our presenter today. Lisa Copeland is one of the most important faces in the automotive industry. She's a dedicated pioneer in the field of automotive sales and brand strategy who has more than 25 years of proven success. Named among the top 100 women in the automotive industry in 2015 by Automotive News, Lisa has dedicated her career to revolutionizing the automotive industry. She and her team were the first Fiat retailer to break NAFTA sales records by selling more than 100 new Fiat 500s in just 1 month. That impressive record earned them a personal visit from FCA Chairman Sergio Marchionne. In 2016, Lisa sold her award-winning dealership to pursue her passion for leading a team committed to transforming businesses and promote corporate civility and winning cultures. She joined the leadership team at The Culture Works as the head of automotive retail strategies. She's keynoted at many events, including Texas Women's Conference, Automotive Leadership Roundtable, Digital Dealer, NADA, and her personal favorite, the Women in Automotive Conference. With passion and expertise in sales and marketing, her success story has been featured in prominent publications including The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, Marie Claire, and Automotive News. Lisa and her friend Renee Bangelsdorf, co-founder of Crushing It Academy, have a book due out August 22nd entitled Crushing Mediocrity, available right now for pre-sale on Amazon.com. She can be reached at lisa@lisacopeland.com. And Lisa Copeland will also be the opening keynote presenter at the upcoming Digital Dealer Vegas next week. She'll be speaking on a panel about how to set the stage for change and win the buy-in. If you're going to be there, believe me, you do not want to miss that, so don't miss it. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we'll try to respond by email later today. Don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Ooh, and guess what? Our good friends at Lisa Copeland, Inc., they're giving away some tremendous prizes today on the webinar. First, one lucky webinar attendee is going to win a Fear.Less t-shirt. Along with that t-shirt, you're going to win a copy of Steve Siebold's latest book, The 177 Secrets of Mental Toughness of the World Class. A second lucky attendee is going to win a copy of Lisa's new book, Crushing Mediocrity, like I said, available on Amazon. And a third lucky webinar attendee is going to win a hashtag Crushing It t-shirt, plus a copy of Steve Siebold's latest book, The 177 Secrets of Mental Toughness to the World Class. It's going to be a great day, people. But let me tell you, you have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though. So stay tuned. You could be one of the people winning one of these amazing prizes today. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so fill it out because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Lisa Copeland at Lisa C. Copeland. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn all about the 6 essential traits of an unapologetic automotive rock star. Hello, my favorite unapologetic automotive rock star, Lisa Copeland. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you? And hello to everybody out there. I'm seeing all these sweet tweets and texts that I'm getting. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for getting on the webinar. And I hope it brings you a lot of value, because at the end of the day, this is what we do, and we're unapologetic about it.
I love it. And for the people who were on before I started the show, then you heard me talk about how I had the pleasure of being with Lisa just a couple weeks ago at the Women in Automotive Conference, and she was the opening keynote presenter. And she laid out some of these traits, but you're getting the full shebang today. I cannot wait. Let's get started. Where do we begin? What are the kinds of things we're going to be learning about today, my friend?
Okay, so what I wanted to really go through and talk to the audience about is, you know, the whole person, right? Like, to be unapologetic, that we are automotive rock stars. It's what we do every single day. I mean, we keep our businesses moving forward. We keep our country moving forward. We keep people in fantastic cars. But you know what? It all starts with you. It starts with that automotive rock star, and that's what I want to help everybody on this call be more and better and bigger and everything in life when it comes to the automotive industry. So our objectives today is, number one, is that rock stars show up well. And these things we're going to drill down into as we go through the webinar. Number two, automotive rock stars believe that what they do matters. I think that's so important. I get to travel around the country now. And in fact, I'm getting ready to go internationally in November. But one thing I ask the teams when I stand in front of them, and you'd be surprised at the answers I get, I say, do you believe that what you do matters? And Eliana, you wouldn't believe the answers sometimes. They said, no, this is just a job. And no, like, why would it matter? You know, it matters because what you do every day keeps this country moving forward. The dealers we work for are entrepreneurs. You pay more sales tax than anybody in the city. Dealerships are known for their charitable contributions and all the things that they do within their communities. We keep the U.S. moving forward because it's the second leading economic source for the U.S. when it comes to, you know, products sold. So, I mean, what we do matters, but at the end of the day, if you don't believe it, if it's not your truth, then you will not feel the power of being this unapologetic automotive rock star. And that's the thing I want to do today. I want to empower everybody on this webinar to own it, because that's who you are. And I'm going to go ahead and just say it over you today. Objective number three is that rock stars learn something new every day. Boy, I sure do. I don't know about you, Eliana, but, you know, that's the reason that I'm so grateful when these conventions ask me to come speak, because I show up and I speak, but I sit in just about every seminar and just about with every other speaker, because you have to be a constant student. And if you're not learning something every day, then you're not moving forward. But boy, there's just some really amazing people in our industry that are so willing to give back and show up at these conferences and show up and do these webinars. And so they're all straight off the front lines. So I just want to encourage everybody out there, anytime you've got a chance to get on a webinar or go to NADA or to the Digital Dealer or Women in Automotive, which is my absolute favorite. And even the boys are invited next year. I'm going to put that out there. We want the men and women in automotive. Whatever you can do to take your game to the next level and to learn from the people that are actually in the trenches, I would highly recommend. And then objective number four from this this webinar would be the automotive rock stars. We are dedicated to disruption. And I'm going to save that one in till we get there. So from that, I think we'll move forward.
What is that dinging noise? Do you have something dinging on your computer?
yes, I think it's Twitter, and I don't know how to get it to unding.
Okay.
Only because, and I apologize to everybody out there, because it isn't up on my computer, so there's some kind of, I just got a new computer, which is why we're not on camera, and so I apologize ahead of time. I just don't know how to get it turned off, or it's dinging me, and we always get lots of tweets on this.
Okay.
So what I like to say, and what I tell everybody is, you know, to be an unapologetic automotive rock star, you have to show up well. Now, this picture is kind of funny, because you would think everybody comes looking good and whatever, but you'd be surprised at some of these dealerships. Of course, if you worked for me, you showed up well. But not just from the perspective of this, right? You have to show up every day to be in it to win it, and that starts with your attitude. You know, and I used to tell my sales managers, anybody that works for me, I said, you know, we don't have the luxury of not showing up well every day. We don't have that luxury. Our customers expect it. Our employees expect it. The boss expects it. And frankly, you should want it for yourself, because see, when you show up well every single day, that's when you perform at your best. And when you're performing at your best, you're making the most amount of money. So, the number one trait of an unapologetic automotive rock star is that they manage first impressions. So tip number one, analyze your attire. Do your clothes project an appropriate personal image? I know this is pretty 101, but again, so much of this has come to light for me as I travel around the country, going into dealerships that I don't manage. And I'm frankly surprised sometimes. I love to see people that are in uniforms. I never made my people do it, because I feel like there was a whole individuality when it came to Fiat brand. But the people judge you. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, people in the first 3 seconds, they're going to decide whether they like you, whether they want to buy a car from you, or frankly, if you're on a job interview, whether they want to hire you. I can't tell you how many people walked in, they sounded fantastic on the phone, and they walked in my office, and I'm like, are you kidding me? No way would I hire this person. One of them came in shorts and flip-flops one time. Great resume. But guess what? They didn't get the job, because obviously they didn't have enough respect for the position to show up well.
He didn't show up in shorts and flip-flops.
Girlfriend, it happened. I tell this story all the time. I hope that person's watching this webinar. Tip number two. You know, role play your verbal communication. Do you speak clearly, professionally, and at a proper pace? You know, in verbal communication, so much of that goes back to, you know, automotive slang and, you know, being appropriate on the showroom floor, you know, speaking clearly and getting to the point with our customers. You know, I think the big concern for customers nowadays is time. You know, everybody's out of time. And so I think you've got to develop a clear, concise message on whatever you're selling, the product you're selling, and you need to be very cognizant of people's time. So you want to make every word that you say, you want it to be powerful, and you want it to help take your sales to the next level. And so really think about and role play, whether it's in the mirror with your sales manager or your sales manager with your general manager, whatever that looks like. But work through what your sales pitch is. And be very careful of jargon. You know, I just did a huge survey to automotive people who just bought a car in the last 6 months. And one of the things that they said, it was over 2,000 people we surveyed on SurveyMonkey. And the number one thing they said about verbal communication is that they didn't like the car jargon. They didn't like it when the sales professional used car jargon with them. Because either, number one, they didn't really understand it, or number two, they just thought it was cheesy. So I just want to put that out there to the universe. I think it's important. And again, if you manage your first impression and you show up well, there's no way that you're not going to be an automotive rock star. Number three, you want to evaluate your nonverbal communication. Eye contact, posture, and a handshake. Again, super easy. One of the big feedback we got from women at Women in Automotive Conference is that eye contact is so important, and sometimes it gets awkward. As a sales professional, if you're male and you don't make eye contact because you're worried it's a woman and she's with her husband, whatever that looks like, I can tell you, everybody wants to be looked in the eye. Everybody wants to feel like that there's a connection before they engage with the next hour, 2 or 3 or 4 hours of their life with you, right? And so we have to look at that. When somebody walks into our showrooms, they're about to spend, hopefully, because that means they're going to buy a car, 2 to 3 to 4 hours, and you know, you're going to spend your life with them, and they're going to spend their life with you. So do it well, and engage and make eye contact, stand up straight, firm handshakes. Women like firm handshakes, men, just so you know, that are out there. When I go into stores still to this day, and I'm introduced by the owner or the general manager, half the time the guys are very, you know, maybe they just don't want to crush my hand. I'm going to tell you right now, crush it. Women like a firm handshake just like men. And then number four, yeah, right? And then tip number four, which probably should be number one, examine your attitude. Do you believe that you come to work to serve? Not only are you serving your customers, but you're serving your other employees, right? It's all about building a great culture. Because if you like where you work, and if people like you where you work, then it's going to be a lot more fun to go to work. And people like to buy from very upbeat and positive people, so it's also going to help your sales. So these are just, again, just some of the very basics to kind of kick off this webinar, but show up well every single day. We don't have the luxury of not doing that. And manage all first impressions. Those are my takeaways. Number two trait of an unapologetic automotive rock star is that they root for the team. I love this picture. You know, sales is such a tough and dicey business, and one of the things I talk about in my book is that you've got to root for each other. Let me go to my next slide. So you have to root for each other. You have to root for your colleagues. You've got to root for your boss. You've got to root for the man or the woman who signs your paycheck. You've got to root for the person whose name's on the sign. It doesn't do us any good, again, to go to work with grudges or bad attitudes or not rooting for our company. And, again, this came very clear to me as I was traveling the country and going into these car dealerships all around the country, and these people would pull me aside and tell me all these crazy stories, and I'd look at them and I'd say, have you talked to your boss about that yet? Have you talked to your sales manager? Have you talked to your general manager? Well, no. Well, then why are you talking to me? You know, that's the only way that you'll incite change in your organization if you're not happy, or if you're super happy. The way to take your organization to the next level is to authentically root for each other, help each other out, and do what it takes for that organization to move forward. So my favorite quote from this is, nothing bad happens when you root for each other. Your organization does better. You do better. If your colleagues are doing better and they're selling more cars, guess what? You're going to sell more cars too. And so I just think it's an overall great way to do business, and it really is a trait of an automotive rock star. Because, see, rock stars are people that are exceptional. And there are probably only 2% of them in the country, and I bet every one of them is on this webinar today. But these are the traits of people that are exceptional, people that we would call rock stars. So it looks like we have a poll question.
I love this. Audience, we have two poll questions for you today. This is going to be your first poll question. And while I'm putting up this poll question, Lisa, I need you to go and turn off whatever Twitter notifications you can.
Okay, I wish
you had it. I'll do this. All right, everyone. Your first poll question is on the screen now. We would love it if you'd get involved. We want to know. We want you to be honest. Answer this question as honestly as you can, okay? Be honest. Do you believe that what you do every day matters? Please select one of the following answers. Nah, I'm just a worker bee. Some days, depends on what mood my boss is in. Most days, because I realize that I am 100% in control of my own destiny. You know what? Most of the time, 90% of the time, because I'm committed to success. Or hell yes, I'm an automotive rock star. All right. And I know Judy says we love seeing the tweets. I appreciate that, Judy. Are you sending tweets, Judy? Come on now. All right, while these votes are coming in, I'm just going to say the question again. Again, thank you so much for voting. Really, it lets us know that you're paying attention, but it also gives us great insight into what's happening in the automotive industry. And there's so many of you out there right now that are on this show, so we really appreciate it. More votes we get, the better we get. Okay, so be honest. Do you truly believe that what you do every day matters? Nah, I'm just a worker bee. Some days, depending on what mood my boss is in. Most days, because I realize I'm 100% in control of my own destiny. 90% of the time, because I am committed to success, or hell yes, I am an automotive rock star. All right.
I hope somebody gets that question right. Come on.
All right, here we go. Audience, you guys are so great. All right, let's close this poll and share the results. And remember, we have one more poll question coming at you a little bit later on, so be ready for that. We'd love for you to get involved in that one as well. And you got questions on anything having to do with automotive rock stardom-ness? You got the number one automotive rock star here today. So write in those questions. I'm looking forward to a really great Q&A session with Lisa Copeland. All right, let's close this poll and share the results. Okay, Lisa.
Yes, ma'am.
Fortunately, no one answered, nah, I'm just a worker bee. And no one answered.
Thank God.
No one answered. Some days, depending what mood my boss is in. Now, that being said, let's see what the rest of the votes are. 27% of today's audience said, most days because I realize that I'm in control of my destiny. 31% of today's audience said, you know what, 90% of the time because I am truly committed to success. And the majority, 42% of today's audience said, hell yeah, I'm an automotive rock star. So I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to this question, but that's what today's audience said. Any comments?
Yes. I mean, this is an audience that gets it. And obviously, these are the automotive rock stars. These are the people that take an hour out of their day to learn one little thing, even if they've got to listen to me, right? One little thing to take their career and their life and their business to the next level. So congratulations, everybody. All three are good answers, but, of course, the last one's my favorite answer.
I see you didn't get that tweet thing handled, huh?
No, because I'm going to have to take down my screen, and I'm afraid to do that.
Oh, well, they couldn't see your screen while I was doing the poll question. That's why I told you to do it then.
Oh. Okay, you know what? Next poll question, I'm going to do it.
Let's get there. All right.
Okay. All right. Let's slide here, everybody. Hey, and thanks for the tweets. Even though they are annoying Eliana right now, and I'll turn them off on the next poll question, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you guys. Okay, number three trait of an unapologetic automotive rock star is that they are visionary. What is something to being visionary, right? I mean, if all of us just sat in the seat we sat in forever and we didn't want more, and of course, these are not the people I'm talking to right now. Every one of you want more. That's why you're on this webinar. But you can see to the future, and you can and you know what you want, and you are imagining what that could look like, whether that's a promotion, whether that's a new job, whether that's trying to get your own dealership, whatever that may be. Number three is that they are visionary. So tip number one, and this is one of my favorites, they don't live in the past. What worked back in the day has lost effectiveness. Automotive rock stars know how to adapt, adjust, and thrive. And boy, nothing I learned more than when I was a Fiat dealer. And I know my good friend John Montgomery's on this webinar. Hi, John. Shout out. He's one of my favorite people in Fiat world, and he has stayed the course. And, you know, you have to be able to adapt, adjust, and thrive, because there are just days, you know, when your brand goes on stop sell, when your brand is in under recall, or whatever may be going on, or maybe your brand hasn't brought out a new car in 6 to 9 months, or possibly the competitor down the street, the other Ford dealer, you know, got the better shipment of trucks and you guys didn't get them, whatever that may be. But business is not as it used to be. You know, I started back in the car business in the 80s, and late 80s, I might add. And I used to tell my sales teams, I said, you know, the way we used to do it back then is not how we do business now. So I'm going to watch every one of you every day, because you guys are the most successful people I know, and I'm going to watch how you get it done. And then we're going to bring that into our organization. Because what I did 20 years ago, 25 years ago, isn't how it's done today, and you guys are on the front lines. And so, you know, unfortunately in this business, what even worked a year ago may not work today. So you have to be really flexible. And you're visionary in the fact that you stay on trend. Like, you know what's going on. You know what's coming. You know it's important to have a great company like DealerOn for your SEO and your SEM. You understand the disruption that's coming with subscription-based. You stay in the press. You read Automotive News. You read Dealer Solutions Magazine. There's just so many sources out there that you can stay ahead of the curve, and that is what an automotive rock star does. And that's how you're able to build out your vision and your strategy for the future. Tip number two, they know that they are simultaneously a brand and representing one at the same time. For all the salespeople that are out there, and you guys are my favorites, and for the GMs and the sales managers, I love you too, but you know, the salespeople, Amy Banner, my absolute favorite, girl selling cars, automotive rock star, right? She's built an amazing brand, hashtag just a girl selling cars. So I'm using her because hers is the best example for me right now, but she's got the Amy brand, and that's her brand, and that's what she uses to go out and to cultivate new business that isn't walking in the front door. And so as dealers love that. If you've got a salesperson who's got a great social media strategy and is building a brand to bring customers back in because it's so darn expensive to advertise. So they are visionary in the fact that they know that they are a brand and that they represent one at the same time. So Amy's with a CJDR, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer. So she represents CJDR, but she's just a girl selling cars, hashtag just a girl selling cars. And the two brands marry up so well together. And because of that, I mean, I'm now seeing her on the speaking circuit. I know she'll be at Digital, and she spoke at Women in Automotive. But really, I recommend everybody go look at her Facebook page, Just a Girl Selling Cars, and see how a salesperson builds an award-winning brand. So hats off, girlfriend. I'm proud of you out there. Number three tip of an automotive rock star is they accept that buyer behavior has absolutely changed. They merge the tried and true with what works now. See, when we're in sales, there's some basics that just don't change, and that's what we talked about on the first two slides, right? You have to show up well. Even if you're an internet manager, okay, and you think, well, I'm not going to see anybody today. Well, you might see somebody because you might get up to go to the bathroom and you're going to see one of your customers on the service drive. And when they're on the service drive, well, then possibly to have a referral for you. And I just say that to say that every single day you've got to show up well. And even though the buyer behavior has changed, meaning we don't see them in the showroom as often and so many of our transactions are done online, we still have to show up every single day in it to win it and being the best we can be, because you never know who might walk in the front door, who might be on the service drive. So those are some very tried and true things. But then you also are a student, and so you understand what works now, and you marry the two of those together. And so those are the visionaries for being an automotive rock star. Oh, you guys keep tweeting. I love this. Eliana's going crazy. Yes, I hope I figure it out. Okay, number four trait of an unapologetic automotive rock star, and we've talked about this. I always get ahead of myself. But they are learners. And it says, I believe that salespeople who put a high priority on learning have the ability to relate to people at all levels. Lisa Copeland. Two prongs to this. Number one, we can't control who comes in the front door or what internet lead we get. And so we don't know what their level of education is or expertise or how they speak or what kind of people they are. So the best and most successful salespeople in the industry, and this kind of goes across all verticals, are people that can talk to somebody who works on the assembly line and talks to somebody who is the CEO of a corporation. And I will tell you a funny story. When I was in sales back in the late 80s in Dallas, Texas, I worked for the number one store in the country. It was Jim Johnson Chevrolet. 90 salespeople. I was the only female at the time. And so we stood in line to get an up, and it was my turn to take an up, and this little, short, wiry man walks in the front door, and I said, hi, my name's Lisa. Welcome to Jim Johnson Chevrolet. How may I help you today? And he says, I want to see a Caprice Classic. Okay, sir. Well, let me go show you those over there. Whatever. So as I am doing what you do as a salesperson, getting his name and whatever, he says, my name is Ross Perot, and I'm the CEO of EDS. Not only do I want one of these, we need a fleet of 300 of them.
What?
I just wanted to... He says, I just wanted to come pick out my one, because I drive one too, and then I will have my fleet manager come over and make the purchase from you. Now, I will never forget that, because when he walked up to the front door, all the guys were like, oh, my God, I don't want to deal with this guy. Thank God you're up. And, you know, I showed up well. I carried a conversation with him, and you never know who you're talking to. I even voted for him for president. God, I'm not going to talk about politics, but later in life, I voted for him for president. That's one of my absolute favorite stories. And the other story about learning is that when I came back to the auto industry about 6 years ago, I had never been a general manager. And I kind of got thrown into the position. I didn't really have anybody to help me. And two things could have happened. I could have failed and just thrown the towel and said, nobody's helping me. Or I could have taken it upon myself. So as a general manager, I had 3 weeks. A year of vacation. I spent every week, every day of my vacation for 5 of the 6 years going to conventions, going to seminars. I put myself through NADA Academy. I found two or three really great mentors, and I taught myself how to be the best general manager in the country, and then ended up becoming a dealer principal and sitting on the National Dealer Council for FCA. But it was all self-taught. So there are no excuses out there, ladies and gentlemen, not to, because I have a degree in fashion merchandising. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you went to school for. The automotive industry is a different beast, but you cannot rely on anybody else to teach it to you. It's your responsibility. I think Grant Cardone says this, my friend. Success is your responsibility. So automotive rock stars, they take the responsibility to self-educate themselves to the point where they'll take their vacation to go to the seminars. I know my girl Amy does that. They will spend the money at NADA themselves, and you will become, you self-educate. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a PhD in automotive. I've been 4 years on the National Dealer Council and everything I've been exposed to, but I had to do it myself. And so I want to encourage all of you to do the same thing, because then I think the same things will happen to you that happened to me. Because as I went out on the road and I went to the seminars and I taught myself, because again, I did not have an in-house mentor, and all of the things happening, I made amazing contacts that are, number one, still my friends today. Number two, when I sold my dealership, every one of them offered me a job or a dealership or whatever. Number three, just the amazing camaraderie. And so I highly recommend it. Automotive rock stars are always learning something. And they're continuously learning. Okay, poll question. I'm going to try to figure out how to take Twitter down.
You know what? We had some kind attendees sent us some instructions. So if you look in your chat feature, maybe that'll help you. All right. Now, audience, I got a great question for you coming up. It's our last poll question of the day. So check it out. It's on your screen now. And please put in a vote, all right? So here's what we want to know. When you have conflict at work with someone, how do you handle it? Please select one of the following answers. Do you avoid it or pretend it didn't happen? Do you not confront that person but instead secretly plot your revenge? I know, it sounds funny, doesn't it? Do you aggressively confront the problem head on because you want to get rid of this problem right away? Do you sit on it for 24 hours before figuring out exactly what you're going to do? Or would you just quit? Walk out, hey, you know what? You don't need this conflict in your life. This is stress enough. We want to know how you handle conflict at work. Do you avoid it, pretend it didn't happen, not confront but secretly plot your revenge, aggressively confront the problem right then and there, head on, whatever it takes to get it done? Do you sit on it for 24 hours before you figure out the right way to solve the problem? Or do you just quit? Just walk out and say, you know what? I can find someplace else to work, you know? We have some people who said that their answer is not up there. Another person said, I need to hit two different answers.
Kind of like I'm on any given day. And, hey, thank you for the person who sent me the text. I think the Twitter's off. I signed out, Eliana. I signed out, baby.
Okay, thank you. All right. And I want to also tell everyone, if you haven't gotten in your question yet on your path to automotive rock stardom, hey, that's what we're here for today. Ask Lisa Copeland, no one better in this world to ask, seriously, on if you have a certain problem you're going through, if you want to know how to handle a certain situation, if you want to have her opinion on something. This is the place to get it, all right? All right, so now we're going to close this poll and share the results. Lisa, are you ready for this?
I'm ready, and I'm dying to hear it, because I think on any given day the answer could be a little bit different.
You know what? Maybe it could. All right, here we go. Let us close the poll and share the results. All right, you know what? Only two of the answers were actually used in this poll question. So just so you know, 22% of today's audience say that they don't want to wait on this. They're going to aggressively confront the problem right there, head on, as it happens, 22%. And then the remaining 78% said, you know what, I'm going to sit on this for 24 hours before I do anything, really think about what I'm going to do, and then, you know, take care of this conflict at work. Is there a right answer or a wrong answer to this? I see no one picked the passive-aggressive one, which is not confront but plot my revenge.
Okay, after all of you, you know you've done it. I have too.
It's so satisfying, but go ahead. What is the right way to do it?
For me personally, I just think that you need to confront, you have to confront stuff head on. You know, you have to confront it when it happens, because what a waste of energy, a waste of life, a waste of everything, when you're mad and you're angry. Because I think so many times the conflict, you know, so many times, and we all know this, right, especially when I was a GM and, I had sales managers, and I might have said something one way, and it took them off guard, and I didn't mean it that way. I just had something else on my brain, and so I had a very good number two, Brent. I don't know if he's out there listening right now, but he was a great number two. He was the quickest one in my office going, wait a second, did you really just say it like that? I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. He's like, I didn't think so. I'm going to go back and tell everybody else you're not a you-know-what. I said, good, please handle that for me. But you know what I mean. And so I think it's just good to handle things straight up, because I think that if you authentically and truly root for each other as a team, and you root for your boss and you root for your colleagues and all the things I talk about, you're going to know that they've got your best interest at heart. And so, therefore, conflict should be able to be resolved very easily, quickly, and on the spot.
Okay, couple of comments that came in. For instance, Bailey wrote in, 24 hours is an eon in the industry, more like 3 hours at most. And then Amy wrote in, I need one more poll answer to confront them head on, but figure it out as we go along. And I want to put my two cents in and say, you know, I read Dale Carnegie's book. I've read it like 7 times. How to Win Friends and Influence People. And in there, he references Abraham Lincoln quite often, actually.
Very often.
Yeah. And he says, you know, if you're really angry at someone and you write a angry letter, to just hold on to it for 24 hours, check it out, 24 hours, and see if you still feel the same way or if you think maybe it's too harsh, you know. So I think maybe there's some... there's something to that 24-hour thing when you're really, really angry, like to the point where you want to punch someone, and we've all been there.
The only caution I'm going to put to that one is if you're a manager and you're out there and you're listening, that you have to deal with straight on, heads up, immediately. If it's a salesperson and it's or whatever, I mean if it's somebody and you've got a conflict with your leader, then you know it might be okay to set on it. So I'm going to agree with that. But if you are a leader in the organization and there's somebody downstream who has done something or you have a major concern, I think that one's got to be handled head on immediately. But I will caution you, it needs to be done in private, not on the showroom floor, not in front of anybody, in private, behind closed doors. I mean, I always did that.
Yeah. A few more comments just came in. AJ, you wrote in, so throwing them in the dumpster isn't correct? No.
And then we know you've done that. That's the scary part.
Lexi wrote in, I will confront it head on, but not aggressively. That's right, Lexi. Take the high.
Okay,
go
okay.
High. Go up high. Okay. And then Tony wrote in, taking the time to respond is just wisdom and maturity, which we could all use a little more of in our business. Thank you, Tony.
What is Tony's last name?
Thorstadt.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a different Tony. I thought it was Tony D out there. I thought
he sounded. Yes.
I agree. And I think they're all good answers because, again, I mean, we're all different in how we deal with conflict. I just have seen organizations blow up because conflict wasn't dealt with either timely or properly, or it was swept under the rug. And, again, if you have an attitude that you're going to root for each other, then you're going to get the junk past you so you can continue to move forward and root for each other.
Yes. And Tony wrote in, he says he is the Tony, just so you know. John wrote in, last one, and then we'll move forward. John wrote in, a head-on approach is great, but sometimes it results in an emotional solution response rather than an objective, calculated decision response. So just like you said, you have to be careful not to be aggressive when you do it head-on, right?
Yeah. Great answer, but I love everyone's answers. I just think these are really good thought starters, right?
Absolutely.
And because in our business, everybody out there, ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's a lot of conflict, whether it's, you know, that was my customer, you know, I talked to them last Saturday, I sold them a car 2 years ago, whatever. There's just conflict. I feel like I was always managing the inmates. Like, I laugh when I say that, but there's a lot of conflict because we're all really proud of what we do. We're super passionate. We're type A. We're in it to win it. Okay, and I thought I did. I signed out of Twitter, and it's still coming up, guys. I'm sorry. I signed out.
We tried. We tried.
Okay, let's just move it on, because this is just conflict.
Yes. I'm going to remind the audience, get those questions in. We're going to be getting to the Q&A session pretty soon. I'm looking forward to seeing some great questions from you audience members. So get some questions in. And Lisa, take it away.
I'm going to take it away. Okay, the number five trait of an unapologetically automotive rock star, and we know this, people, they are mentally tough. You guys have met, I've had one of the top mental toughness coaches in the world as my personal coach for over 7 years, Steve Siebold, which is why the books are going to be out there for prize probably on the next one. But so I hired a mental toughness coach. Now, he was my speaking coach also, but he speaks on mental toughness, and as I went into private coaching, that's what we worked on, because we are in a business that it's a mental business. Sometimes we all feel like we're mental. I get it, but it's a strategy business. You've got to be visionary. People are not always going to root for you, unfortunately. I definitely had some of that in my career. And so you have got to have you have to have it going on upstairs. You've got to be mentally tough. So I love this one by Creed. What consumes your mind controls your life. And again, if you've got head trash and you've got where somebody has really got into your head, it'll screw up your whole day. And if you're in sales and you're managing people, if that kind of stuff happens, you screw up your day, you just screwed up everyone else's day too, let's face it. You know, if the GM has a bad day, everyone's going to have a bad day, right? The salesperson has a bad day, probably going to go, you know, I don't want to talk to that customer. Just let Johnny go up them. And then Johnny makes a four-pounder on the deal. And it's because your head wasn't in the game to go talk to the customer. So we're going to go into some tips about mental toughness and some of the things I learned from a very expensive coach that I still pay. And a lot of you that were in Women in Automotive last year, you guys saw him on stage with me. He and I closed Women in Automotive, and we talked about the traits of mental toughness. But mental toughness is keeping strong in the face of adversity. It's the ability to keep your focus and determination despite the difficulties you encounter. And I'm going to put a shout out to all my friends in fiat world that are out there right now. I mean, we got our butts kicked a couple of, many times over the last 6 years. And it was just being able to keep our heads straight because we really believed we were out there to revolutionize the auto industry, and we really believed in what we were doing. And I know my good friend John Montgomery, who's on this call, he runs his organization the same way. But if we let the press get into our head, or the people from our other stores get into our head, oh, yeah, you're at Fiat, because whatever it may be, then we would not have been as successful as we are. So mental toughness is so about staying the course. You can see an automotive rock star, I go back and repeat, but you're a visionary. Okay, so you know what you want out of your life. You know what you want out of your career. You know where you want to be next month, next year, and 5 years from now. Because an automotive rock star writes a business plan with themselves. Because automotive rock stars don't want to stay where they are today. They want to go forward, and so they know where they're going. But part of knowing where you're going is that you've got to be mentally tough, because during that journey to getting to your success or getting to your place, there's going to be lots of adversity. And so some of the adversity that hits us in the automotive space, it recalls and stops sales. Like, nothing stinks more than that, because you have to deal with the adversity of not only not being able to sell that car, but your customers, and that's always tough, because we love our customers, but they don't realize that we don't build the car, but so be it. Possibly, you're working in a bad culture, maybe you're there because your job is to be the change agent. You're there, and so, you are shouldering more of the adversity, because you're going to be the one, if you're an automotive rock star, that you're going to try to root for everybody there. But a bad culture is a place that you there's a lot of adversity, and you've got to be mentally tough if you want to stay there. Change of leadership, that's tough. It's tough on a team. It was tough on my team when I left, and it was tough on me leaving them. I want to put that out there for sure. And so adversity happens all the time, and then. Adversity happens when there's tension with your current leadership. If don't have the type of leadership that you feel like you can talk to or confront or whatever. So where mental toughness really comes in is that you've got to take care of you, and you've got to get yourself into a place that that you know how to deal with adversity, that it doesn't hold you back, and that it doesn't keep you from being all you can be, and it doesn't diminish your automotive rock star light. So mental toughness, very important. And then number six, the sixth trait of an unapologetic automotive rock star is they never give up. You are going to want to give up, but don't. And I just, God, I mean that with all my heart and soul, because there's so many days, me included, and every one of you, that that you want to quit because it's tough, the adversity's there. It's the automotive rock stars have a plan, and you have to play out the plan. And you can't let a bad day derail you from what is your destiny, which is stardom, and which is rock stardom, which is to be the best you can be in the greatest industry in the entire world. You know, Eliana knows this story, and I'll kind of, I'm not sure what my time frame is here because I know you want to have questions, but I knew a year before I left, I was leaving, and Eliana can absolutely confirm that story. But it was for no other reason. It's that I had a plan. Right? I had rung all the bells. I had gotten the award from Automotive News. Our store was number one. Like, there was nowhere else for me to go sitting in one city, which was Austin, Texas. And my dream was to take this message, to take the culture, to take what we've done for women in automotive and take it to a national level, because I'd already started speaking around the country, and I knew that there was a need and a want for it. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to be an encourager and a mentor and a rock star to the people in the automotive industry, but I couldn't do it sitting in Austin, Texas. So bottom line is I had a plan. And I had a one-year plan to play it out, to finish it up, to end well, and then to be able to go and execute my next five-year plan. But during that 1 year, there were many days I just could have given up. I just would have thrown in the towel. It was a tough year. But you know what? I knew that I had to stay the course. I knew that I would never reach my destiny if I let something defeat me, if I let somebody get me so riled because of adversity that would take me off track, that I would not be where I'm sitting today, which I'm so grateful for, because I've got amazing clients all over the world and in the country, and I get to go speak, and I got to write the book. Bottom line is I got to execute the plan that I wrote a year ago. And I want every one of you to know out there that, number one, I know how many of you have rooted for me over the years, because I've seen the manifest list. I know who's on this webinar, and you guys have been my friends and my supporters, and thank you, because I know you've rooted for me. And I want everyone to know out there that I am rooting for you, and I mean that with all my heart and soul. If you want to email me or text me or whatever, I'm always here to help, because the only thing I would tell you, the thing that I would want to encourage you to do, is write that plan. And don't let anybody or anything derail you or keep you from living your destiny, crushing mediocrity, and being all you can be. So never give up. And suggested resources. So we just launched crushingitacademy.com. There's not a lot on there yet, but we are going to start a 12-month mastermind that just join our mailing list, and then you'll get more information about that. But it's all about crushing mediocrity and taking your life to the next level. Resource number two, I would not be a good car salesman if I did not say, buy the book, Crushing Mediocrity, 10 Ways to Rise Above the Status Quo. And this, you guys know, we interviewed some amazing people for this book. Chuck Tobin's in it, and Randall Reed, and Susan Scarola. We're telling the Mary Barrister. I mean, we have lots and lots of people in this book. It's not just the Lisa Show. We interviewed 29 or 30 people. And we're telling their stories, and we work them into the 10 chapters of how to rise above the status quo. And then, of course, resource number three, Steve Siebold. You can buy it on Amazon, but the 177 Mental Toughness Secrets of the World Class. Really easy read, and you can just kind of go through it. Because, again, don't let somebody else derail your dream, and find people, build a tribe that will authentically root for you. It'll be great. Oh, my gosh, the cover of my book just came up. I wonder how that happened.
Do it.
All right. And so I'm wrapping up, I promise. So action items. Number one, So these are my takeaways for everybody out there, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, take a personal inventory, right? What are your strengths and your weaknesses? Now, I did that 2 or 3 years ago, and then I showed them to a few key people, and I said, hey, can you kind of build this out for me? Like, do you agree? Oh, my God, yeah, people love to help you build that list. It's very helpful, I promise you. Action item number two is to commit to being a student of the automotive industry. We've already talked about it, but commit today. There's a lot of resources out there. Action item number three is find a mentor or an accountability partner. What does that look like? Somebody who will root for you, that will keep you in the game on your bad days, and somebody you can trust when adversity hits on how to deal with it. Because somebody said it out there, I think it was John Montgomery, so that you're not dealing out of emotion, that you're dealing with a really good solution that you can present to that person. And then action item number four, and this is my favorite, and everyone who knows me knows this, you've got to say it out loud. I am an unapologetic automotive rock star. Every day, morning and night, say it into your mirror, self-talk. I just watched the new Tony Robbins thing on Netflix. He self-talks all the time, but there's something to it. If you say it to the universe, it'll happen, and I believe that. I think I'm done with my part of the webinar.
What?
And,
No.
I was trying to be good because I'm watching the clock here. Anyways, so I'm open for questions.
Yes, we're going to do questions in just a minute. Audience, you haven't gotten your question in yet? I don't know what you're waiting for. Now is the time. Get your questions in. We're going to get to those questions of yours in just a moment. Before we go to questions, though, we got a couple other things to take care of. For instance, if you want a copy of today's slide deck, I got it ready for you. Just check out the handouts section of your GoToWebinar interface. Over there, you're going to see a PDF that's ready for immediate download, and that would be today's slide deck from Lisa Copeland. So you have until the very end of this webinar to download that. I suggest you do it now. Okay, and if you were here at the top of the hour, then you heard me announce that our good friend Lisa Copeland is giving away some awesome prizes today on the webinar. That's right. Well, let's just go to the next slide, Lisa, okay? First of all, one lucky webinar attendee is going to win a Fearless T-shirt and a copy of Steve Siebold's latest book, The 177 Secrets of Mental Toughness of the World Class. Now, just so you know, I'm lucky enough to actually own one of these Fearless T-shirts. It is my favorite T-shirt in my T-shirt drawer, and you can't really tell, but it's all diamondy. It's really pretty. I mean, I don't know if the guy ones are diamondy, but the girl ones are definitely diamondy.
They're not.
Okay, so listen, if you win, I need a mailing address, but I also need a shirt size, all right? If you win, how do you win? You got to be the first person to write in the response to a giveaway question. So first thing we're giving away is a Fearless T-shirt and a copy of Steve Siebold's book. Here is your question. Good luck. No, you can't win the shoes, AJ. Okay, here's the question. Good luck, everyone. According to Lisa's second essential trait of an unapologetic automotive rock star, who should you be rooting for? Ho, ho, ho. First person to write in is Heather Paquette. That's right. Root for the team. Congratulations, Heather Paquette. Not a first-time winner, I might add. She has definitely won on my show before. Heather,
she pays attention and she shows up.
Yes, she did. Heather, what dealership are you from, my friend? Okay, here we go. Good job, Heather. She is from Whiteman Chevrolet in Glen Falls, New York. Heather, congratulations. Okay, Heather, you can sit this one out, my friend. You know you're already a winner. We're going to be getting that prize out to you from our good friends over at Lisa Copeland as quickly as possible. She already sent in her mailing address. She followed instructions. Very well done, Heather. All right, everyone, guess what? Now we're going to give away another prize. This is for a Crushing It T-shirt and, again, a copy of Steve Siebold's latest book, The 177 Secrets of Mental Toughness of the World Class. Good luck, everyone. Here we go. As a salesperson, what did Lisa say was the kind of toughness that you need in order to know how to handle adversity? That's right, mental toughness. Everyone got that one right. Jeez Louise, let me scroll up. Woo! Okay, Carolina Shirley, first person to write in the correct response. Congratulations, Carolina Shirley. That's right. I'm writing your name down. You are today's winner. Heather Puckett, Carolina Shirley, you guys have some awesome prizes coming your way. Carolina's about to write in and let me know her shirt size and what dealership she's with any second now. That's okay, everyone. You know what? We got one more prize coming your way, one more chance to win. And this is for an advanced copy of Lisa's new book, which, by the way, I haven't gotten my copy yet either, so I'm dying to get my copy. It is available for pre-sale right now on Amazon.com, but you are going to get an advanced copy of this, of Lisa's new book, and it is called Crushing Mediocrity. You are not going to want to miss this. I'm dying to get my copy of the book. Okay, Carolina Shirley is from McCarthy Morse Chevrolet in... Where? What city is that? OP? What's OP? I have no idea what OP is, but it's in Kansas.
Okay. We love people from Kansas.
Overland Park, Carolina. There's no... I'm in Jersey, man. You got to write that out. Thank you for that. All right, Carolina, congratulations. You and Heather can sit this last question out. All right, last question. Good luck, everyone. This is to win the Crushing Mediocrity book from Lisa and her good friend Renee Bengelsdorf, who, by the way, rock star in her own right. Let me just tell you, I've met the lady. She's amazing, too. All right, here we go, everyone. Good luck. By the way, this was not mentioned during the broadcast, I don't think. But if it was,
it wasn't.
So it wasn't mentioned. So you can guess. Yes. All right? And you can guess many times until I get the right answer. All right? Here we go. Per NADA, what percentage of people will quit before completing their first year in the automotive industry? Ooh, so close, but nope. Oh, so close. So close. Oh, no one got it yet, though. People are guessing they're so close. I mean, maybe Google it.
Go high, people. Go high. That's a quote. That's what I'm going to tell you. Go high.
If you guessed, guess again, just one off, because no one got it yet. Oh, my God. So many people are guessing. Oh, my God. No, no one got it yet. Unbelievable.
Is anybody close within five?
Oh, yeah. People were off by one.
Oh, you're tough.
Am I tough? Should I give it if they were off by one?
Well, only because I didn't say it. That's all. I'm just trying. I'm rooting for my peeps out there.
All right. Let me just double check and make sure no one did write it in. Let's see. Oh, man. So many. Oh, we have a winner. David Sharp. He did write it in. 76% was the winning number I was looking for. That's correct. 76% of people will quit before completing their first year in the automotive industry, according to NADA. David Sharp, congratulations. Again,
yeah.
Has won on my show before. And let me just tell you, a lot of people voted for 75. A lot of people wrote in 75, but the correct answer was 76. Congratulations. David, you're going to be winning a copy of the new book, Crushing Mediocrity.
Autographed copy.
I wrote in about 50 answers.
That was awesome. I'm absolutely going to autograph that book for you, so thank you.
Wonderful. And by the way, Heather Puckett, she said, I just placed my Crushing Mediocrity pre-order in. Thanks for the great webinar. David, don't forget to write in your shirt size and your mailing address, my friend. Congratulations to Heather Puckett, Carolina Shirley, and David Sharp. You guys are all winners today, and everyone else, go to Amazon.com and get your pre-order in for Crushing Mediocrity. You're going to love that book. And, of course, I got to thank everyone for playing along. I know we only had three prizes today, but you know what? We give away cool prizes every week on the Dealer On webinars. So come on back for your chance to win another cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. For right now, we're going to say congratulations to our three winners. And, of course, we got to thank our good friend Lisa Copeland for her incredible generosity. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, love it. All right, everyone. Now let's get to some of those questions. Are you ready, Lisa?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Your first question comes in from Casey. Casey writes, when a rock star – oh, you can go to the next slide, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When a rock – yeah, let everyone see what you look like. All right.
Okay.
When a rock star starts to fall – what's the best way to bring them back to rock star status?
Was that Casey Jordan by any chance?
It was. How did you know?
Because he's one of my favorite ex-employees in the entire world. Okay. I can tell you what I do when I feel like I'm slipping or I'm losing motivation or I'm discouraged. I've got a tribe of people. I've got people that I trust that I go to, and just to check, you know, to talk it out, and because I think that's what you have to do. So Casey, you know, you can call me anytime if this is for you, but I want to stick it out there to the crowd. Like, it's critical that you find people that you trust that you can have these conversations with. Because mental toughness is great, and it's critical, but I'll tell you, there's also the component of having a tribe or having a mentor or an advisor or even a boss or anybody that can that just can help talk you through it. Because, again, the traits are the traits. You don't lose your rock stardom, okay, just because you're not in the right job or not right situation, okay? You are still who you are, because that's within you. You're a rock star because of who you are and what you do. But to have a great attitude and to be able to exude all of those things all the time, that's a little tougher. And so I really recommend finding somebody that you can lean on.
I think that's a great idea. And, you know, we talked about mentorship as well, and that's important
right.
as well.
All right. It's critical.
Casey, great question. Thank you so much. All right. Next question comes to you. Well, not really a question. It's more like a statement from Tony.
Oh.
He says, if there's no conflict, you're not trying hard enough.
Ooh, I like that, Tony. I agree. You cannot change the world and be a rock star and all the above without having to deal with adversity and conflict. So, Tony, I agree.
Tony, that's right. All right, Tony, thank you so much. You got follow-up? We want to hear it. All right, your next question comes to you from Philip. He says, what decisions would Lisa credit most as turning the tide for the Fiat Austin store? Great question, Philip. I know. I mean, how long? Well, first of all, Lisa, how long were you at that store?
Yeah. 6 years.
6 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you were at the store in the beginning to where it ended up at the end. Now, at the end of your 6 year tenure, it was an award winning store with international acclaim. So where was it when you started?
Yeah. No, it was an award winning store. Yes, at the end, it absolutely was. But it was starting in 2012 when my team, including Mr. Casey, who's out there because he was there, we broke the NAFTA sales record, and then Mr. Marchione came, and we continued to be an award-winning organization. But I will tell you the answer to that question is that the leader has to decide. And I decided, and those who know me, I know John and especially Casey, because he worked alongside me every day, is that I made the decision that we would be the number one store in the nation, and I never took my eyes off that ball, ever, 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 as the leader. And therefore, downstream, I made sure that everybody knew what I wanted, what the team wanted, and I made sure everybody followed through. But the leader's got to have that vision. Unfortunately, I don't think in the middle you can incite that kind of change. But if you're the boss, great. Set your sight on a goal and then help everybody get there. If you're in the middle and you work for a mediocre organization, maybe you should work for one that has a boss that wants to win and wants to be number one, or whatever's important in that, you know, within your segment. It's super hard to be the number one Ford dealer in the country, right? But maybe number one in the zone or in the city or whatever. But it really gets down to leadership. And if you're the leader, what is it you want? Set your sight on it and go get it done.
I love it.
I'm ready to guess with being number one. There was nothing else in my vocabulary except that we were going to be number one, and I said it every single day.
I love it. And we have a few more questions coming up from Philip in just a little bit. But, Philip, great question. Yes. All right. Your next question comes to you from Andy. Andy says, you said rock stars don't quit, but is there ever a situation where you would just walk away?
Ooh, Andy. So rock star is who you are, Andy, right? You are a rock star. This is who you are. So rock stars don't quit on their dreams. So hopefully I made that clear enough, right? So your plan is your personal plan, whatever that may be within your organization. And if your organization can no longer help you with your personal plan, or they don't believe in your personal plan, or you guys don't see eye to eye, or whatever that may be, What I mean is you don't quit your dream, your plan, and your vision. You go somewhere that can help you manifest it. Does that make sense? Am I saying that right?
I think you said it great.
Okay, good. So don't quit on yourself, Andy. That's it. You don't quit on yourself and your dreams and your vision. But sometimes you have to walk out of the place. I did. I didn't just quit. Obviously, it was a long-term plan. But I knew that where I was, I could no longer facilitate where I wanted to go the next 5 years. But I'm forever grateful for the first 6 years because that's what gave me everything to go to the next five-year plan. So life is about stages, and I was just going to stage two, and it could be your time to do stage two. You never know.
Just
put on yourself.
Got it. Great advice. I mean, this is gold. I love everything you're saying. Okay, your next questions. Oh, we have a lot of questions coming in. Okay, your next question comes in from Tim. He says, a lot of these traits are related to work ethic. Do you believe that work ethic can be trained to an adult, or is it a result of your upbringing instilled in us from our childhood?
Wow. It's a great question.
It is a great question.
For me personally, I think it was part of how I was brought up. My dad was an incredible entrepreneur, and he instilled in me, he used to tell me, kid, no one owes you a living, and nothing happens by accident. And so those are some of the things. So I'm pretty intentional about wanting to do things. So I think that intentionality is very, very important, but not everybody's raised with parents like that. So and in fairness, not everybody wants to be a rock star. Someone had to tell me that a long time ago. Lisa, not everybody wants to play in your lane. Just know that. You have to accept the ones that are super happy, maybe just being mediocre. For me, it doesn't work. It makes me absolutely, it keeps me awake at night. But not everybody wants to play in that lane. So if it's a lane you want to play in and you're passionate about it, I would go find somebody who will encourage you and who plays in that lane also to help you do it. Because I think, at least with me, so much of it's self-induced. I mean, you know, I can't help it. I'm almost a fixation on getting stuff done. But not everybody's wired like that, and that's okay. Did I answer the question?
I think you did, Tim. If you have – oh, Tim says, great answer. I struggle with some of the people that I manage every day. Now, Tim, mm-hmm. just so you know, one of our attendees, Judy, wrote in, and she says, conviction, drive, desire – you're born with it.
I agree with Judy, and now I understand what his position is. We and I should probably have an offline conversation. What I learned, because I struggle too sometimes, but then I had to tell myself I'm not going to be able to hire 12 rock stars. I wish I could, but they don't exist. So sometimes you have to learn to manage in the middle, and you have to help the people that are kind of sitting in the middle go as high as they can go, And then help your rock stars go to outer linear orbit. But just don't be disappointed in yourself. And most importantly, don't be disappointed in the ones that truly have a great heart, truly are good people, but just don't have the ambition. They're still good people, and all of us need those 8 to 10 car a month people. If they're anything under that, you'd probably want to reconsider their employment. But other than that, sometimes you have to meet people where they're at. But you as a leader, you're the only one that you can really hold yourself accountable to. And the other thing I'll tell you about that is that because I was so driven about the number one thing, I mean, I think Casey was there when it happened. I had a sales manager walk out on me one night because we lost like 2 cars, and I was just beside myself. And he said, I can't work for you anymore. It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to want to be number one every month. I said, okay, then, I guess you can't. I mean, I don't know. You're the one telling me. What do I say? And so, sometimes it's hard to work for the S's of the world. I know Casey would come back to work for me, though, so that's easy.
Casey, would you come back to work for Lisa? Putting him on the spot.
but I say that to say it's a balancing act. It just is. It really is.
Okay.
The only person, again, you can hold accountable for absolute rock stardom is yourself.
Gotcha. All right. Just so you know, Tim agreed with everything that you said, and he says, I would love to discuss more. Hey, Tim, That's why we have her email address right there. So email her real fast so she has yours as well. And never be afraid to reach out to the fierce and fabulous Lisa Copeland. She is an amazing person and an incredible friend. So I highly encourage that. Judy, who wrote in Conviction, Drive, Desire, yep, you're born with it. She followed up with, the rest we can teach. I like that.
And may I add that Judy is the mother of Amy, so you can only, Amy Danner, so you can only imagine, you know, obviously, it doesn't fall far from the tree.
Oh, no, she says wrong Judy, different Judy.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Oops. There well, you go. We have lots of Judys on here and lots of Tonys.
I have to stop.
Judy says she is from Headquarter Automotive.
Ooh, okay. Hi, Judy.
Different Judy. Same awesomeness. Love it.
I agree with you.
Okay. Here we go. All right. We have still a bunch of great questions that came in. All right.
Wow.
Next one comes in from Philip again. Oh, it's a good question.
Uh-oh.
What are some key indicators of mediocrity in an organization? What should we be looking for that we have to crush?
I love that. Okay, the number one is complacency. When people that are just about the status quo, you know, that there is not a goal, an end goal every single month for that organization, whether it's a goal of we're going to sell this many cars and build a plan to get there, if the goal is to be number one in the city, the zone, or whatever, because that may not mean things to people, but it's complacency. It's that everybody gets in there and that every single day that there's not a goal set and they're not having to do a little bit more and try a little bit harder to push themselves and that organization to the next level. Because, that is critical to the growth of an organization. So the number one thing within a car dealership is complacency.
Okay, Philip, you heard her. Now, he has a follow-up question for you.
I love Philip. Okay, bring it on, baby.
Philip has great questions today. Okay.
He does.
Philip says, as an unapologetic rock star, what are some of the shifts that you foresee in the automotive industry? And based on these, what would be your solutions? Oh, he's putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm good at that. You know, I'm actually in Dealer Solutions magazine this month talking about the disruption. It's coming like a freight train. So disruption, I don't know that there are solutions to it. I think there's adaptation. Adopt them. I can't say the word right this morning, but you have to adopt a disruption. You're not going to stop it. I mean, ask people. I mean, ask Apple Computer how that worked out, or iPhone, or any of the above. You're not stopping it. So some of the disruption that's coming, we know disruption is CarMax. Disruption is, where they're going to a different business model. Carvana, big disruptor. You know, they're friends of mine, but you know what? They are disrupting how business is done. And so, and they're disrupting it from the consumer standpoint, meaning that the consumer gets to get on their website, get the car delivered for 7 days, blah, blah, blah. You have to have a college degree to be a $18 an hour car delivery person. So they're basically kicking out the salespeople. You know, they're just delivering cars now. That's disruption. There's a new, in fact, we launched it at Fiat of Austin, subscription-based car buying. We did a partnership with Flex Drive and Cox Automotive. You're not going to stop disruption. So my answer would be is to keep in front of it, adapt to it. If you don't want to work at Carvana or Beep or Vroom or CarMax, then stay with independence, because that's where we're going to see disruption. We're going to see disruption in less management because of smaller margins that are out there now. We're going to see disruption that we're going to see seasoned salespeople. We're going to see straight salaries. We're going to see not as many middle managers because of the way that the car transactions are going to go down. You don't need someone to desk a deal because it's one price, Carvana, CarMax, and some of these. And so all of it. So you have to brace for it, and you have to know what's coming. And so I'm happy to have an offline conversation with him, too. I've got some suggestions on that. But it's all good as long as you know, because, again, complacency is mediocrity. So we are not a mediocre industry.
Right.
So we are always moving forward, and we're always going to – there has to be disruption so there's not complacency, because consumers are telling us as an industry, we don't like you. We don't want to buy cars. That's why part of the reason there's a 12-year pent-up demand. People don't like the experience. They're there, you know, all the, I just go on and on. But anyways, you know, so the industry has started reacting to what the consumers are telling us. So
right.
Because of that, you know, you just have to know what's out there and then decide what your game plan is.
Okay. Yeah, and I love what you said. I mean, what business is going to survive in this harsh economy in these times if they're just sitting on mediocre, you know?
Right, mediocre and complacent. And so, therefore, you know, these guys have gotten really smart. The guys who started Carvana, they both got master MD or MDs.
MBAs.
Master, thank you. From Harvard or Princeton, one or two. And they were technology guys. And they did their studies and they learned and they said there's a better way to sell a car. There's a better customer experience. There's a better profit model. And they went in and they did it. And they were not traditional car people like all of us sitting on this call, okay? So that, to me, that is disruption because they were students of the industry. They found a better way. And they came in and they started the disruption. And boy, there's one here in Austin, Texas, and it's disruptive.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Tony wrote in, no surprises. And then he also said, our industry usually is all about react, but winners respond. Interesting.
Ooh, good.
By the way, great. Philip wrote in, he says, awesome. I'm going to follow up with you online. Thank you, Lisa, for all your responses. I really appreciate you. Take care, and I'm so looking forward to your new book. Thank you, Phil.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We have four more questions in the queue. Actually, three more questions. I'm sorry. Three more questions in the queue, and I'd really love to button this up within the next few minutes, all right? So here we go. Your next question comes to you from Kendra. She says, oh, this is a great question. What would be your top five book choices of all time in order to help build an automotive rock star, other than your own, of course. Thank you, Kendra. Without complete dealer backing and limited funds for advanced learning, I'm trying to find ways to learn any way I can.
Oh, where does she live?
Kendra, where you live, baby girl? I don't know. She didn't write back in yet.
I'm actually going to send Kendra a couple of my personal books. Gosh, I've read so many of them. You know, I like Grant Cardone's stuff. I do. I like Alan Ram, Dave Anderson. I mean, there's just so many of them out there. Oh my God, and I'm such an avid reader too. I'm just trying to think what my very, you know, value-added selling. I really like that book a lot. I don't even know who writes it, but I use it quite a bit to reference when I go speak.
Really?
Yeah, because you know, you have to add value. It isn't about, you know, it isn't about just the old school. But if you will get me her contact information, I'm going to send her some books out of my personal library. I'm rooting for her.
Kendra, you need to contact Lisa directly and give her your mailing address, or you could send it to me. But Kendra,
yep.
Write in. Let us know where you are. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Tony says, try the Bible. I don't know if that's going to help you sell cars. And then Tony says, how many people work there at the dealership? About half. The others have already quit. They're just bodies in the dealership.
Oh, I know. I've checked out. What is Tony's position at the store?
Hey, the Tony. What's your position at the store? Write on in. Let me know. He said janitor. Come on, Tony, I don't have time for this. Kendra is in Albany, New York, by the way. She just sent in her mailing address, so I'll make sure
okay.
I get that over to you.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad you wrote Oregon. It's Albany, Oregon. I thought it was Albany, New York. What do I know? Okay, Tony wrote in. He is an e-com specialist.
Okay. All right, and so so he's a manager. It sounds like, or sitting kind of. I get it. I get what he's saying. I think that you have to find an organization that you gel with and that you feel is on the same track with you, and that can support your automotive rock starness. There's going to be a day where I'm going to get like $100 million, and I'm going to start a store where I can bring every automotive rock star in the country, and we're all going to be at that one store. Like, I dream about it. Like we're going to change the world at this one store.
What state is that going to be in?
I'm working on it.
Carolina says, hell yeah. And Tony says, I'm good for about 6 years at one store. Philip says, count me in, Lisa. And
oh, I love you guys.
Tony says he's going on year 30 in the automotive business. Wow. Staying power. Yeah. All right. All right. Let's get to our last question. This one comes in from John Montgomery. He says, what is the best strategy to share your vision? What is the best strategy to share your vision to be the best through every facet of the dealership? We often have satisfaction issues from customers with our service and parts department. How can the sales team enable better performance to match the high ideals and goals of the sales department? Three questions.
I know exactly where he's coming from. John, call me. Let's have this conversation offline. But I can tell you, because you're the general manager, everything in life in the automotive industry, performance is tied to pay plans. And so I had pay plans that even in service riders and my service director, both of their pay and their percentages were tied to CEI scores. And so if we did not do well, they did not do well. But anyways, I'm happy to have that one with you offline because I know your struggles, friend.
Okay. John, take her up on that. Lisa, seriously, I don't know if I could love you any more than I already do. You are just... I want to be you when I grow up. I really do.
Oh. But you're actually going to be with me in Vegas for the next 4 days, so you might change your opinion on that.
Oh, are you kidding? Never, never, never. Fantastic presentation. Lisa, I know this is not the last time our paths are going to cross, my friend. I am so looking forward to seeing you in Vegas. Can't wait to see your opening remarks. That's right. People, if you didn't know it, I'm just going to let you know. Lisa Copeland is going to be the opening keynote presenter at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention Monday. She's going to be speaking on a panel about how to set the stage for change and win the buy-in. You got to be there. She's great on webinar, but man, she's even better live. If you can catch her live, believe me, you do not want to miss that. All right? So go and check that out. Also want to let you know, we're going to be sending out a survey. Please fill it out.
Uh-oh. Be nice to me, everybody.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding? We want to know what you thought of today's presentation. So please fill out that survey. It's going to come up any minute now after I close out this webinar. And this webinar recording is going to be available online within 24 hours. All you have to do is go to dealeron.com/webinar. You can view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars, including this one. But that link is going to get sent out to you in just a little bit. So please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And Lisa, if you wouldn't mind going forward a few slides, I want to let everyone know that Sean Raines and Greg Gifford is going to be presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Vegas as well. And Dealeron is going to be exhibiting there too. If you're going to be there, I'm going to be there. Stop by booth 601, say hi, let's take a picture, let's, you know, Facebook it out or something, all right? We have the best booth around. Remember, it's booth 601, and I can't wait to see you there. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, How to Hit a Conversion. I already talked about that. Yes, catch her speaking. Invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next webinar, How to Hit a Conversion Home Run Before Paying for Clicks. That's right. The fact is $61.5 billion will be spent on search and display alone in 2016. If the majority of your digital budget goes into SEM and banner ads that drive shoppers to your website, but you don't first ensure your site has the ability to convert at a high rate, you are willingly throwing the money in the garbage. It's like throwing a pitch to home plate without a catcher. It just doesn't make any sense. Digital marketing MVPs focus first and foremost on conversion metrics and let all other KPIs take the bench. By first mastering conversion, the thousands of dollars you spend driving traffic to your site each month will be validated. Website traffic, page views, and impressions, they're all great, but also irrelevant without proof that they led to a sale or a conversion. In essence, we need to reevaluate which metrics really matter. In this incredible one-hour webinar, David Metter will round all the bases to teach attendees key takeaways that will bring your batting average way up. If you're ready for the big leagues and you want to learn how to hit a conversion home run before paying for clicks, then you can't afford to miss this presentation, so register now. And don't forget, Dealer On's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions regarding these webinars and our topics, I'd love to hear from you. You can track me down online. I'm everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm on every automotive social network. Or you know what? You can just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in Dealer On's continuing education series. Take care.